This is Equestrian Legacy Radio's Saddle Up America. I'm Gary Holt, and joining me from Missouri is my co-host, Tina Mae Weber. Good morning, Tina Mae.
Good morning, Gary. How's the weather in Tennessee today?
Tennessee is chilly, a little overcast, but they tell us if we can hold on for 3 or 4 days, we're going to be about 60 by the time we get to Sunday. So we're looking for that. Spring is on its way, and folks have visions of being in the saddle out on the trails. So that's pretty cool. But how's your weather?
It's cold. We're right at that freezing mark, but we've got blue skies. So it's pretty outside, but it's cold. The wind is very bitter cold.
All right, well, we're going to have a really warm show today because we're going to be heading out to the great state of Montana and visit with some folks out there and tell us who our guest will be today.
Absolutely. Well, as you said it, today we travel to Montana. First, we will talk with a longtime packer and owner of Trailhead Supply, Andy Brayland. Then to a dude ranch set in the Rocky Mountains of northwest Montana, Laughing Water Ranch, and talk with owner Marcia Carey.
All right, so it's going to be a fun show talking with Andy and with Marcia. And we remind folks that Saddle Up America is made possible by our great sponsors at the General Store, where you'll find everything for the horse lover and folks that love the equestrian lifestyle in the General Store on our website at equestrianlegacy.net, and by our two great show sponsors, Trailhead Supply, your source for the best camping gear, horse packing equipment, and horse riding gear. Visit Trailhead Supply online at trailheadsupply.com, and by TrailGuard, 24-hour roadside travel assistance. Learn more today about TrailGuard at trailguard.org. So if it's chilly where you are, sit back and grab a big cup of coffee, take a deep seat in the saddle, and when we come back, we're going to be talking with Andy Brayland. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net. Southern breeze coming back up this way in Tennessee. We want we want to find out what the weather's like out in Montana. So we're going to welcome Andy Breland to the show. Andy, how are you?
Hey, great, thanks. Our weather is not it's almost springtime out here. We're almost 30 degrees.
Oh, wow. Wow. Makes me feel a little better, not much.
No, supposed to. We've been having really nice weather. You know, we can't complain at all. We've been in the 30s the last week. We've had blue sky, but today that's slowly vanishing, and no weather has snowflakes from tonight on to the end of the 10-day forecast. So we're back to winter.
Wow. When does winter start for you out in Montana, and when does spring come usually?
Absolutely. No. It starts snowing, and, you know, it could snow in July here. When we're going, like, when we pull our pack strings and we go packing into the Bob Marshall Wilderness, the high passes, you will have snow and push snow in mid-July. And it clears up into early September, and we have snow pretty much all year long coming and going. But it really starts snowing late October. And
wow.
It quit sometime in early April.
Wow. Wow. Well, it's a beautiful part of the country, and I guess just having to deal with a little of those inconveniences is part of it. But we want to talk a little bit about how you got started with Trailhead Supply. And by the way, thank you for being one of our show sponsors. We appreciate that. But
absolutely.
You did not grow up in Montana. Tell us a little bit about your background and how you got started with Trailhead Supply when you came to Montana.
Originally I'm from Seattle, the big city, and I hate concrete, and I hate traffic. And I just, every weekend I could, I got away, even growing up. As soon as I got a driver's license, and before that, I begged the family to take me fishing or something. Just get me out of there. Mom always said I was born like a couple hundred years too late. started the family. We had a house, had a great job, was making real money, and, you know, I just wasn't happy. And so we just loaded up the Ryder and headed east, and we came over to Montana, and then, you know, still had a corporate job, had a nationwide and Canadian trucking company, and finally, you know, we started an online store 5.5 years ago. 3.5 years ago, we opened a storefront, and I just walked away from the corporate world and did what I really wanted to. I preached to the kids the whole time they were growing up, don't chase a dollar sign, do what makes you happy.
Right.
And so finally, I listened to myself, and I did it.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, we moved to Montana, so where the horse part came from, you know, I was raised in a city. Got over here and everybody had a horse, so, you know, I'm now a Montanan, so I needed a horse. So I, you know, over 2 decades ago, I got my first horse and didn't know what to do with it when I got it home. And so, you know, we had great long talks with it, and they're great listeners. And so then we thought, you know, we should breed horses. So then we had a bunch of little horses, and then we got mules. And my wife came up to me one day and said, we got to do something with them besides feed them. And I said, yeah, so, you know, on the front of every hunting magazine, the guy's got a big pack string and a whole bunch of elk antlers. And I thought, this is the way.
What?
And that is not the way, because then you spend all day in camp feeding all those animals. So you don't really get a chance to hunt. But one thing evolved into another, and now we've got the store and loving every minute of it.
Well, you've got a great store, and we want to encourage people to go and visit trailheadsupply.com and shop online. And doesn't make any difference whether you're in Montana or whether you're back in Washington or New York. You'll find.
No, we ship international. You know, as long as customs laws let us in, there's a few countries that won't allow leather products in.
Mm-hmm.
But we've shipped stoves to, you know, Australia and New Zealand and, you know, around the world. I actually had a gal come in the store last summer, and she said she shops here, and she had a real strong accent, and she was from Sweden. She came over, and while she was at Glacier National Park, she stopped by to meet us and see where she gets her gear from.
Oh, that's pretty neat.
Neat.
That is pretty cool. That is pretty cool. Well, talk to us a little bit about your passion for the backcountry, Andy.
I absolutely love to get out and go, and it's kind of a disease. That's what I tell all my customers. And we just, I pull a pack string nonstop. You know, it started with one, and it's grown. And now it's trailer fulls at a time. And we pack in and out, mostly the Bob Marshall Wilderness. I live in a very beautiful part of the world. And one to the east is the Bob Marshall Wilderness Complex, which is made up of three different wildernesses. It's the Great Bear, the Bob Marshall, and the Scapegoat. And to the west, I have the Cabinet Wilderness, and to the north, I got Glacier National Park. So, and then just multitude of acres of Forest Service land. So we go constantly riding, snow or no snow. And last year, the guy that packs with me the most, we packed over 1,000 miles last summer and
slept
85 nights on the ground.
Wow, wow, wow.
We have understanding wives.
I started to say you have a very understanding. I mean, not only is she very intelligent when she said what she did about the horses and the mules, but she's a very patient lady.
We've been married for 33 years is because, you know, we're not around each other to fight. So it's a perfect relationship.
I can understand.
She might be listening.
Yeah,
she probably is.
How often do you get into the backcountry? I might even ask, how often do you come out of the backcountry? I don't know. That might be
there. You go.
Well, that would be a better question for my youngest daughter, whose partner's in Trailhead. She often accuses me of not carrying my weight and being here enough. So, but no, from the time the snow melts, so starting sometime late May in the lower elevations, we're running those pack strings nonstop until we were packing the week before Christmas this year.
Oh wow, wow, wow! Now, when you go packing back into the backcountry, I mean, what are you doing? Is this for yourself? Or are you helping with backcountry horsemen? What are you doing?
Kind of D, all the above is a good answer. I was president the last 3 years for Backcountry Horsemen of Flathead, which is the original Backcountry Horsemen chapter. Backcountry Horsemen started here in Kalispell in 1973. So I was the president the last 3 years. We do a lot of volunteer projects for them, and we run supplies in for them and Montana Conservation Corps. I also contract to Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks, and I work with their biologist, both their bear biologist and their fisheries biologist, and I run their supplies in and out for them all summer.
Oh, wow, wow. And
in the winter when it's snowing, we teach pack clinics to teach more people how to do this.
Oh, that's cool. That is cool. Well, we want to take a quick break, and when we come back, let's talk a little bit about what people need to know if they want to come and pack into the backcountry. But we want to remind folks that one of our sponsors is Trail Guard, and Trail Guard is 24-hour roadside travel assistance. It has unlimited vehicle towing to a dealership that services your make vehicle, a second tow vehicle to get your trailer and horses home or to your destination of choice, 24-hour coverage for you and your vehicle, one you're driving or anyone driving your vehicle, and 24-hour personal assistant to help plan your trip, and much, much more. Trail Guard was founded with one mission in mind, and that's guarding you down life's trails. You can learn more today at trailguard.org. And we'll be back in a moment to talk more with Andy and Tina May. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net.
The thunder, it needs the sea. It needs the heat. It needs the chill. Oh, won't you wait a little while before you cry, before you smile? Love will grow cold, it will grow warm. True love is like a mountain stone.
I guess there's a little weather you have to be prepared for when you get back into the backcountry.
Absolutely. There's a lot you got to be prepared for. One thing that I've learned since we opened Trailhead Supply is where people ride, both on the East Coast and the West and in the Rocky Mountains, varies greatly. It's that time of year. We get phone calls nonstop from folks that want to come and ride in Northwest Montana. And what happens on the East Coast is definitely not what happens in the Rocky Mountains.
Well, that brings me to a question. Yeah, tell us how folks need to prepare when traveling with their equines and going to Montana, because it is different, and sometimes people don't realize the difference in the different areas of the U.S.
Yeah, out here we have it's all public land. I mean, 99% of what we have is public land, and you just go ride it. It's yours. It's there for the taking. And, you know, I get these phone calls, and, you know, this time of year is when we start getting those phone calls, and everybody's planning, and you should start planning your trips. And you need to come to a realization, what do you want out of that trip with your horses or, you know, your big family vacation? And you need to start make that list and do your homework. What's it going to take to travel across the country and come see this beautiful part of the world? In the East Coast, I get these phone calls, and they said, hey, you know, I just got this new living quarter trailer, this new LQ, and we got triple slides, and we got satellite, and we got this, and we need, you know, hookups, and we want to come to a trailhead, and we want to ride into Bob Marshall, and we want to do 10 different trails in a day, or, you know, a different trail every day for 10 days, and our trailheads are exactly that. They're a trailhead. You ride 10 miles down that trail through some of the most beautiful country you'll ever see before you even get to a sign that says wilderness. So if you're specifically planning to go into the wilderness, you need to take a week and make that big trek into the backcountry. It's a whole nother world. And people go, well, what do you do with your horses? Do you have stalls out there? No, you've got a lot of country. The Bob Marshall Wilderness, and I think the big concept that nobody can get their arms around is how big that Bob Marshall Wilderness Complex is. It's over 1.5 million acres, which is almost twice the size of Rhode Island. And if you're going to run the pavement, if you're going to drive the asphalt road that kind of surrounds the Bob Marshall Complex, it's 400 miles of asphalt to drive around it. There's 42 trailheads. There's 1,800 miles of maintained trail, countless miles of non-maintained trail. It's just a breathtaking, huge thing. But there is no corral. There is no little cute little cottage to rent. It's you, your animals, and nature. That's what's out there. And you're going to have snow
like
in
heaven.
July. And I'm not trying to scare anybody away. If you want to, it's a great place. I love it. Wish I could live out there more than I do. It's just, it's truly, truly a phenomenal place that God made for all of us to enjoy.
Well, it sounds absolutely gorgeous. What about traveling? You know, when people are getting ready to travel into Montana, what are some of the things that they need to be aware of, especially when they're traveling with their equines?
Everybody has to do their homework and their due diligence before they take off. And you know, if you're bringing horses into Montana, just like crossing any state lines, every state's got a different thing. You're going to have to get a vet inspection, a Coggins, and a brand inspection. Montana has started a new rule this year on importing stock coming in. You have to get an import number. So the vet that does your health certificates and your Coggins, they need to send that information into the Montana Department of Livestock, and they will be issued an import number. Just because you've got the right paperwork, you still need an import number. You got to kind of tell Montana you're bringing those animals in. That's what you need for them. For you, personally, you need to start getting in shape. We've got big elevation out here. We've got big steep hills, and it's just not you. You know, running on the treadmill is great for you, but you need to get your animals in shape too. I mean, and I see this so often, even here locally, everybody goes and rides on the weekend. And they get out, the snow starts to recede, and they take that saddle horse and they ride. But they leave all the pack stock at home. Those guys need to get in shape too. Take them out with you. Get some miles on those pack stock too, and get them going up and down the trails. We get phone calls. Hey, can we run barefoot out there? This is the Rockies. It's called that for a reason. And I'd put shoes on them. All mine are shod. And we go. There's the Bob Marshall Wilderness is foot and horse traffic. That's what you got. There's no bikes and there's no motorized. So those conflicts on the trails do not exist in the Bob Marshall Wilderness.
Well, that was that's a great point, because I see this so often, and I'm sure you see it more often than I do. You know, people keep the horses off for the winter months. You know, not everybody rides all year long. And then they wait for that big first ride. And then they grab their horse that has not been in condition and take off on the ride. And you're in the Rocky Mountains, so you've got elevation and everything else that, you know, they need to get acclimated to the air. They need to be in condition to – those aren't little hills over there.
Oh, absolutely.
And the horse needs to be in condition, and the rider does as well.
And you need to get here a couple days early. And I know that's really hard with everybody's work schedule, because you're trying to, you know, cram all this excitement into a week, you know, because you got a week off and you're driving across the country and you're hauling these animals. And, we see the people coming in for, like, this big, exciting elk hunt, and they drag these poor animals across country and they take turns driving, and the animal is standing in that trailer. You know, stop, find a horse motel as you come across the country. Let those animals get out, stretch their legs, and relax. You need to do it. They need to do it. If everybody's rested when they get here, everybody and the stock will have a better trip. Try to get here a day or two early. Get them acclimated to the elevation, to the temperature, to the water. Our water tastes really good out here because it's Rocky Mountain water. But, you know, it's going to taste different than if you're in Southern California and you kind of got that, you know, sulfury taste that they're used to. And the feed, we have to have certified feed out here. I know that a big misnomer out there, because I get the phone calls, is that you're feeding pelletized feed. And we all know that when it goes through the grinding and baking process to make those cute little pellets in the bag, it kills any noxious weed seed that's in there. But if that bag is not marked certified by the U.S. Forest Service, it is not considered certified, and they'll write you a citation if they check your camp. We're
wow.
also in a, we're also in a bear management area. We have a lot of grizzlies, and we got a lot of black bears. And there are sanitation rules on how to store. It's called a food storage rule, but really it's an attractant rule. It is prescriptions, adult beverages. Most people don't realize that those aluminum cans floating in the creek to keep it cold is not a bear-resistant container. And you might not be able to smell the beverage coming through that aluminum can, but the bears can. And so there's ways that you can set up your camp that meet regulation, or you can get a bear-resistant container to put that those attractants in, your food, prescriptions, et cetera. But run a clean camp, and you won't have a bear problem.
Andy, if a person is coming from the East Coast to come out to ride in Montana, if they want to ride in the Bob or anywhere out there, are they better off to connect with a guide to take them into the backcountry or to try to do it on their own?
You know, and that's asked a lot, and it really goes back to the individual. There's a, it's probably dollar for dollar, not that much more to hire somebody that's there every day. By the time you figure in all the expense of hauling the stock and getting the gear that you don't already have, I mean, we'd love to sell it to you, but, you know, there's that point when you're starting to do that math, is it worth the money? Hire a guide. But then on the flip side, if you want to do the true backcountry horse, you know, experience, do it on your own. We encourage everybody to go. I mean, I remember my very first trip, you know, and it's been over 20-something years ago. I show up to the trailhead. I took a packing class. I took my horse down. I took one pack animal with me. And I stood there at the trailhead, and I stared at the horse and my pack animal, and they're staring back at me, and I'm like, this is nothing like it was in the book, you know. And I put all the animals back in the trailer, and I came home. And we never even hit the trail. And I got home, and you know, we practiced in the yard a few more times. And then we went back to the trailhead. And since that point, we've never looked back. We just keep, you know, Robert Eversole's on the show once a month for you guys. He's a regular. And, you know, he advocates the one-horse light, ultra-light camping. And that's great. Go do it. Just get out. Nothing would make Robert and myself more happy than to see people use those trail systems. But at some point, you're going to want a chair because stumps aren't always conveniently located and the ground is really getting hard for this old guy. So I take a chair, and so that created a need for another animal. And so now I pull a bunch of animals, and I live the life of Riley in the backcountry. I have a huge camp, and I live very, very comfortable.
What is the normal size group to go back into the backcountry?
People or horse?
I think it would have to be with people, and I guess the length of time that you're going back there. But let's say that you had a small group of maybe 4 to 6 folks, and they were going to spend a week. What would you be looking at as far
for
as
animal wise? If you're looking at 4 to, we say a half a horse and person. You got one for the kitchen. When you're doing an estimate on how much stock you're going to need, you want one for camp, which gets lighter in the summer. I mean, are you going to sleep under a blue tarp? I sleep under my mani that I wrap my gear in, my piece of canvas. That's my tent all summer. I go really light on camp, and I make up for it in the food department. You know, I don't pose for swimsuit magazines. I love to eat.
Tina May does, too, by the way. That's... Loves
well,
her
he's
food.
Speaking to me.
Loves her food. Loves
but
her food.
But, yeah, we you know, if you figure a half a horse a person, so if you got 6 people, you're pulling 3 pack animals.
Okay.
I mean, there's your rough rule of thumb. And if you're going to make a loop, the big place that everybody wants to go, because and more than it's a great place to see, is the Chinese Wall. And it's on everybody's top 10 list. They want to see the wall. And it's a 21-mile long walk rock wall that's 1,000 feet high in spots. It's about a 69-mile loop to come back to the same your horse trailer from where you started to where you end. A lot of people ride north to south or east or west across the complex, but that becomes more logistical because somebody's got to move your horse trailer.
Okay.
So, you know, it kind of, you know, we get calls all the time, and any of the listeners out there, if you guys got questions, feel free to call the store, and we'll help any way we can and guide you. If we don't know the answer, we can be happy to point you in the right direction on who does know that answer.
Okay. Well, I think probably, you know, if folks are planning on coming out to experience the backcountry for the first time, it's probably good to come with, you know, plan on having an outfitter to take you back there, a guide to take you back. If you are an experienced person who have spent quite a bit of time in the backcountry in different places, then I guess they would be just as comfortable in the Bob or in that area as they would somewhere else.
Yeah, you know, and the things to really start working on if you're bringing your own stock out is, what are you going to do with them overnight? You know, make that plan. Are you going to put them on a high line? Are you going to picket them? Are you going to turn them loose with bells on? You know, are they going to come back to you the next day? Because 1.5 acres is a lot of territory to go roam on their own while you're sleeping. So you know, what are you going to do with them overnight? You got to work on that before you head out. Communication, that is normally a big stumbling block for a lot of people. They want to get away from the real world and go have this wilderness experience, but they want to call home every night. They want to post on Facebook off their phone. You know, everything that we're accustomed to now, there is no cell service out there. You're on your own. You know, there's very few mountaintops that you can climb up and actually get a cell signal to ping off of to get a hold of somebody. You're pretty much out there all by yourself.
Okay, any kind of satellite phone system that you can use?
We carry a sat phone when we're with the game department. But half the time, you know, you're in such deep canyons between the mountains. You can't get a signal out. You got to climb up avalanche chutes with an external antenna. You know, not saying they don't work because we call out on them, but it's not like you see on TV where everybody just picks up the phone and makes that call.
Gotcha.
It's wilderness. It truly is wilderness.
Now, the only thing I'm going to use my cell phone for is a camera. Lots of pictures.
That's what everybody uses them for back there because they
don't
work to call anybody.
Gosh.
No, it's a great place, and I encourage everybody, they need to come do it. And if they want to come out, another thing, and just, you know, pitching for the Bob Marshall Wilderness Foundation is, it's a great organization. They control volunteer groups for the Forest Service. So if you want to come out and go into the Bob Marshall and you don't want to bring your horses, volunteer for a week and do a trail project with the foundation. They're great people. You'll see myself or somebody else, and we'll pack all your gear in for you. And then you go camp in the Bob Marshall and, you know, do a little trail work.
What is a must-see? Besides the Chinese Wall, is there anything besides the Chinese Wall that's a must-see when you come into the Bob?
If you go into the complex, if you fish, you got to go fish the South Fork of the Flathead River. It's phenomenal fishing. I mean, absolutely phenomenal fishing. Early August, the regulations, and read the regulations, you can't keep a fish over 12 inches. My buddy and I went in. We caught 250 fish in 3 days. And I was the only one that caught one small enough to keep.
Wow.
And
Now, why is that? Because in Tennessee, they've got to be large enough to keep. So why is it?
Exactly.
Yeah, what's the deal?
Well, it's backwards, you know. But what they're letting you keep, they want that brood stock to stay there to keep that fishery so phenomenal.
Okay.
That's what I do with the fisheries biologist is I go in and stock high alpine lakes above tree line, which become actually rearing ponds as they work their way down all the creeks and drainages to the South Fork when the little guys are coming down the creeks. But by the time you get down to the South Fork, it's absolutely phenomenal fishing. Another trip that a lot of people enjoy is hire an outfitter to take you in, and you float the South Fork, and they will take you over Gordon Pass, Lodgepole, or Young's Creek, and you all go in at the same spot. There's several waterways that form the headwaters of the South Fork of the Flathead, and they'll put you in a raft there, and you will float all the way through the complex and come out at Meadow Creek by the Spotted Bear Ranger Station. You'll find Spotted Bear on your Forest Service maps. And it's a week-long float. You fish the entire week. They drag you up on the beach at night. You have a big camp on the water. Absolutely a great trip.
And you mentioned yesterday when we were visiting, you were talking about the Big Prairie Remount Station.
Tell us about that. Was the Forest Service established that in the early 1900s. If you go look it up online, they kind of took it all over, and it was around 1910, 1911. It's a working ranger station. It's no matter which trailhead you go in around the complex, it seems like it's 32 miles to get to Big Prairie. It's all the old buildings. If you're on your own stock and you ride in the Big Prairie, you ride across the suspension bridges that are all cable suspended, and they rock and roll, and the horses get a little nervous the first time across, and they're a couple hundred feet long, and you ride across there, and you ride up to Big Prairie, and there's hitch rails. It's just like you rode back into the old western town. You tie your horse up, and you walk up, and I don't know who's working there this year. Allison used to work there, a Forest Service gal, and this little blonde would walk out and say, "Hey, would you like a glass of lemonade and a cookie?" And you'd sit in the big rocker on the porch and drink lemonade, and it's just like you went back in time 200 years.
That is pretty cool.
That's neat.
So any of these places, now we're running out of time for this segment of the show, but I was going to ask, are there any of these places, because we know Tina May is going to be coming out and riding with you and Robert and some other folks later this year.
Can't wait.
What can she look forward to, any of these places that you just talked about that she'll be seeing?
Meeting Andy, of course.
Yeah, we're taking we'll meet Tina May and Robert at the trailhead, and what we're doing is it's a multifaceted trip when we're going in, and the plans now on paper is that we're going to run into Big Prairie or just above Big Prairie, and Robert's coming over with a couple of his family members, and we're going to pack some rafts in, and then we're going to turn Robert loose, and he's going to float the South Fork. I've seen Robert fish in action, and the only fish he catches is the one that he scares to death by his casting style. And we were up there, and the guy that I packed with, Chuck and Robert, and I were in there, and my arm is sore from reeling fish in, and I look over at Robert, and I yell across the lake at him, and I go, "How many fun?" He goes, "I've caught two now." And but apparently his brothers are quite the fishermen, so... we're going to turn them loose, and then we're going to go across. They'll float on in the Big Prairie, and then we're going to take Tina May, and we're going to ride in with our stock to Big Prairie. We'll give her the tour of the Backcountry Ranger Station. We've got to pick some water up. They're restoring Jumbo Lookout this summer. Jumbo sets up on a huge, high rock and sees hundreds and hundreds of miles out every window. It's a glass box that sets on a rock peak. And so we'll ride up to the top of this rock peak. It sets at like almost 9,000 feet, 80-something hundred. And she'll look out all directions up there. And what we're going to do for them is there's a work party going up to restore that. They're taking all the windows out and reglazing them and resetting all that glass. And they need water, because Lookout Tower set on top of the world, and as we all know, water runs downhill, so there is no creek or anything up there for them to get water source. So we're going to pack a full string of 5-gallon containers of water up there for the crew, so she'll get to go up there and see Jumbo that very few people ever get to see.
Oh, that's cool.
I'm so excited.
Well, that should be a great trip.
I get to eat, too. That's right.
Yeah, she's excited about that. I'm kind of pleased that Robert's got somebody to catch some fish for him so he won't starve.
Well, that way he doesn't starve. He looks like a fish half the time anyway.
Yeah.
Poor Robert.
Well, anyway. Well, listen, Andy, you have been a lot of fun. We're going to have you back on to talk more about some of these areas back up there in the Bob Marshall And we didn't get into any of the packing classes that we needed to
talk about
or a lot of things that we want to talk about. So can we have
show.
You come back again?
Would love to. Anytime you guys are desperate for cheap entertainment, give me a call.
Well, that would be most of the time, but we'll make a... But anyway, well, you've been great to talk with today, and so we look forward to having you back again, and thanks so much for taking the time to join us today.
Not a problem at all, and really, if anybody has questions, feel free to call me.
All right, that's great. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Andy.
Thank you.
All right, so fun to talk with Andy Breland, and we're going to remind folks that Trailhead Supply is one of our show sponsors and is your source for the best camping gear, horse packing equipment, and horse riding gear. So you can visit Trailhead Supply online at trailheadsupply.com, and also TrailGuard, 24-hour roadside travel assistance. You can learn more about TrailGuard at trailguard.org. And when we come back, we're going to be very happy to have Marcia Carey with the ranch at Laughing Water join us. And we're going to find out about one of the finest guest ranches in that part of the state of Montana. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net.
Blue Montana.
song by Joni Harms called Blue Montana Moon, and we want to welcome to the show now Marcia Carey. Marcia, how are you?
Hi, I'm enjoying this beautiful tropics of Montana that I get to live in up here.
Gosh. Yeah, it sounded like it was just really balmy up there at 30 degrees. But, We have
I'm an hour north of Andy, and I am like 10 degrees warmer than he is, so we're almost at 40 here.
Wow,
you are having a heat wave.
Yeah, we'd think we're having one here in Tennessee if we had 40 degrees today, so that'd be pretty neat. Mm-hmm. But anyway, we're happy to have you join us, and, you know, it's amazing how many songs about Montana that you can find if you just kind of look, like that last one that we did. And we've got two or three more that are lined up before the show's over with, but we want to find out about the ranch at Laughing Water. And tell us a little bit about your background, Marcia, and how the ranch at Laughing Water came about.
Mm-hmm. Well, I pretty much grew up on cattle ranches in California and Oregon. I've always had horses, and I have always enjoyed taking my horses into the backcountry. And I love being able to share that with other people. Not everybody is adventurous as some are to go out with Andy and go up into the high country. And so I found myself this place where I can actually take people out into the backcountry on a smaller scale. I moved here to Montana a year and a half ago and found that right next door to me was a guest ranch that had been shut down. So I went and talked with the owner and started doing trail rides off of his place last year. And he finally said, hey, talk to me into just reopening up the whole guest ranch.
Oh,
so
wow.
As of January 1st, we are now open again.
Wow.
That's fantastic.
Wow. Well, we'll be able that to remember we can remember your anniversary pretty easily when we talk with you next year about the ranch at Laughing Water. So, yeah, that's pretty
cool.
That's
right.
That's pretty cool.
Oh, I love it when we keep these places open because, you know what, they're just not enough of them out there. They're great places to go to. So let's talk a little bit about Laughing Water Ranch. Tell us about your facilities there and what people are to expect at your place.
We're up here in Fort Wayne, Montana, which we're just about 20 miles south of the Canadian border. And the ranch itself has about 220 acres on it. And we have a huge lodge. We have multiple cabins. We can sleep about 46 people. And we do plan on being open year-round. We do have all-inclusive or lodging. We're in the process of setting up campsites for people who are coming through with their living quarters trailers.
Mm-hmm.
So they can just pull on in and keep their horses there. We do want to encourage people that, yes, they can bring your own horses with them. We are just surrounded by trails. This is a very beautiful site, beautiful location we have here, and we're just happy to be able to share it with people.
So you're going to offer it all. You've got a place where if people want to come with their tents or living quarters and their horses, they can come, as well as those that don't have horses or those that don't want to travel that far with their horses. You have horses there for them to use.
Yeah, that's
you
correct.
Do both.
Currently,
that's awesome.
Currently we have about 40 horses out here that are getting themselves tuned up and ready for all our guests come springtime. So
that's
we'll
awesome. Plus, you have the cabins in the room.
Yeah, busy riding them out and getting our trails cleared out and just getting ready for everybody to come on through.
Well, tell us a little bit about those trails. Tell us about the terrain, what there is, you know, what they might see out there, the scenic views and everything.
Our trail, we have all levels of trails. We have some that are nice old decommissioned roads that are really perfect for even for barefoot horses on. We have some trails that go clear up to the top of some old lookouts that are above us in the Whitefish Divide. And you get up on top of that lookout, and you can look over and see into Glacier National Park to the east of us. You look north up into Canada. You look west, and you can see into Idaho. So we've got some fantastic views. Some of the trails are challenging. Some of them are easy. We can go up to high mountain lakes. There's old silver mines around here. And, of course, we have all the wildlife, too. This is a grizzly capital through here. A lot of grizzly, a lot of black bear. Personally, I haven't seen them, but I know they're out there watching me every time I ride.
Well, let's talk about some of your specialty weeks, what all that includes and all the different specialty weeks that you have. What's going on?
Yeah, we're excited to announce all those. Our opening week will be our cattle drive week, which is going to be May 10th through the 16th. And people, when they show up for the first part of the week, we'll get acquainted with their horses, and we'll do some riding around the ranch and kind of play with the cows in the arena. And so they learn how to work a cow, how their horse is going to work the cows. We'll do some trail riding around the ranch, too, and out on the Forest Service. And then the last 3 days, we will actually be out in the mountains and the rolling hills here, helping the neighbors bring in some cows.
And then
we will have our guests will be able to spend two nights out there in cow camp in outfitters' tents around the campfire. And we've been told it's just a really, really great time from the people who have been coming back. We've had guests come back for 10 years in a row to just come on the cattle drives.
Oh, wow.
So we know that's going to be a fun one. The next one will be our Women's Week, which is, ladies, grab your girlfriends, your moms, your sisters, and just come on out and be pampered. And we're going to have a yoga instructor come in, and I think a masseuse, or anything. We're open to suggestions on what people would like to do when they come in for these specialty weeks. Our third one is going to be our Confidence Week. I know there's some people have gotten hurt off horseback. Or your horses are just a big, intimidating animal. And so we want to have people, give them the opportunity to get back around the horses or get on the horses with the help of somebody who's been there, who can totally understand the fear that is in their mind. So we want
to
help
them overcome their fear.
Exactly, yes. And so that one I'm really looking forward to, because I've been there myself a number of times. You get dumped off the horse, and it's scary to get back on. It's never easy.
It's a little trust issue that you got to get back with your horse. So happens a lot.
Yep. I'm really looking forward to helping people with that week. I think it will be a really, really special week. Later on down in the summer, we're going to have what we call our Wild West Week. And we're going to actually go to the local PRCA rodeo here in Eureka. We're going to have some guests come in with black powder shooting. We're going to go gold panning. We're going to just see how many crazy and fun things we can do through the week for a Wild and Woolly West. And I think that one's going to be a lot of fun, too.
Oh, wow.
So
wow. Well, I want to find out about some of the sites around there, but we want to take a quick break for just a minute before we do that, because I know you've got some historic areas in your neighborhood. Marsha, are you familiar with Ian Tyson?
I love him.
All right. Well, we're going to take a real quick break and listen to one by Ian Tyson called The Land of Shining Mountains. And how close are you to Canada there?
I am 20 miles due south of Canada.
All right. So this will fit right in. So let's listen to that. And we'll be back in just a moment to talk more with Marsha and Tina May. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net.
Long roads, high lonesome prairies, dreaming of the springtime, first crocus in the snow. coffee in a go cup. He's headed for the oil rig, land of shining mountains, big Alberta sky. The old man and the castle, the red deer and the battle, rivers in a dry land feed the cities of the plain. But nothing lasts forever on the great divide, land of shining mountains, big Alberta sky. Cowboy said, I wish I'd seen the buffalo. Maybe they'll come back again. He's gonna get up early, try and make a dollar. The only girl he wanted took the Greyhound for the coast, and she was found believing, but she will not forget him. For the land of shining mountains, big Alberta sky. The land of shining mountains, big Alberta sky.
That's Ian Tyson, the land of shining mountains, and we want to remind folks that Equestrian Legacy Radio's Saddle Up America is brought to you by Trailhead Supply, your source for the best camping gear, horse packing equipment, and horse riding gear. Trailhead Supply is your full-service online packing supply store. With their storefront location in Kalispell, Montana, Trailhead Supply doesn't just sell packing supplies. They stand behind every product they sell, and they use them. Trailhead Supply, your online source for the very best in camping, horse packing, and horse riding gear. Visit Trailhead Supply online at trailheadsupply.com. And Marcia, talk to us just a little bit about what's the geography like around you, because I kind of visualize just mountains.
Where the ranch sits here, we're right at on the western slope of the Whitefish Divide, which is, you know, one mountain range over from the Continental Divide in Glacier National Park. Mm-hmm. But just to the northwest, we have the town of Eureka, and back at the turn of the 20th century, when Mite Man first came into this area, they were really just surprised to find the Kootenai Indians were actually growing tobacco up here. This is such a warm little microclimate that we have here. So it's kind of rolling plains up through there, and then we surrounded by, we've got the Cabinets further to the west, and then this Whitefish Divide to the east of it. So we have, it's just a fantastic, one of the most beautiful places in this country, I think.
Wow, wow. Well, now, you were talking about Eureka just a minute ago. What's a little bit of the history of that town?
Well, Eureka, it's close proximity to the Canadian border. Back in Prohibition time, Eureka was one of the hot spots for all the rum runners trying to keep away from the... yeah, there's a lot of interesting history on that one. And then, of course, it turned into a logging boom town until your logging industry has closed down. And now it's just a beautiful, it's a really cool little old town, fantastic, kind of just historic. They've got a neat historical village through there, you know, showcasing all of the history. There's silver mines around here. In fact, we have one of our trails actually goes up to an old silver mine, and it's kind of a cool place to explore.
Oh, wow. Wow. Now, you were talking about the rodeo. I mean, is there a lot of cowboying that's done around there?
No, not really. Most of the cowboying is, you know, the big ranches over on the east side of the divide. So
okay.
There's, you know, just a few small ones. The cattle that we go out and work with actually belong to the retired county judge here in Lincoln County. And so there are just small ranches and farmers, and it's just a cool, really laid-back little area we have here.
Okay, and then
you're
fairly close to the ski area, too, aren't you?
Yes, we are. We have, just to the north of us, up in Fernie, B.C., we have a great ski area up there, and just an hour south of us, or in Whitefish, we have Big Mountain down there, which is, I believe, number 7 ski resort in the world.
Oh, wow.
We also have backcountry cat skiing just south of us here. Well, they'll take you up in the cat and turn you loose up in the backcountry, and you ski all that super-duper fresh powder. We also have dog sled adventures out here or snowmobiling. And so there's a lot of fantastic winter recreation available. That's why we want to stay open year-round to help give people great lodging and homey atmosphere when they want to come up and do all that fun winter stuff, too.
Oh, that's great. That is great. Well, Tina May, go ahead. I interrupted you.
No, that's okay. I was just wanting her to talk about Tobacco Valley. We talked yesterday a little bit, and I was quite surprised myself that you have tobacco fields up in Montana. I've just always, you know, known them around Kentucky, and I wanted her to tell a little bit about
mm-hmm.
that.
Yeah, it's just such a microclimate up here that the Indians were growing it, you know, and it really surprised the white man because they're used to it growing it down south.
Mm-hmm.
And so our winters are way shorter here. Our summers are a little bit longer. My snow up here has been gone for the last month, and I know Andy down there an hour south of me, they've still got about 2 feet in California.
Oh, wow. Wow.
So
that's just crazy.
Just these little short, yeah, it's crazy. Just these little short distances away from each other, and it gives us a longer summer season to get out and enjoy our backcountry here.
Well, let's talk to us a little bit about Glacier.
Well, Glacier National Park is about an hour and 20-minute drive from us, and we're excited for our guests that are coming up for the full week long. We plan on taking them over and spending a full day in the park with them. In the morning, we'll go ahead and saddle them up and let them and take a ride through Glacier. We're talking about going up to the Apgar Lookout, where you can actually look out, and it's a beautiful view. Then in the afternoon, we're going to do a whitewater raft trip. And then in the evening, we're going to swing by and stop at the Blue Moon Rodeo so everybody can get a little bit more wild and woolly. But, you know, being as we do have Glacier National Park pretty much right here in our backyard, that's something we definitely want to be able to share with all our guests and all of our visitors. So getting them up there, because it's absolutely beautiful up there in the park.
Wow.
Everybody that comes through here, it needs to be on everybody's bucket list, I think. It's fantastic.
Tina May, go ahead. You were going to say something.
Well, I was just going to say it sounds like she's got lots of activities there for them to be open all year round and can attract even those that, you know, may not have horses. I mean, she's got the, didn't you say they could get ski jets? I'm thinking water jets. That's what I'm trying to say. Nothing like life. Yeah, and so mm-hmm. you've got a little bit of everything all year round, and you are open for that. Plus, you plus you have the horses and everything. It sounds like you got lots of things to see. It sounds beautiful.
Oh, yeah, and we're actually working with some other local businesses who teach first aid classes and emergency preparedness. And so if people don't want to go ride a horse that day, we can set them up and let them come down to these other classes and participate in that. So we want to make it a perfect family vacation. So, you know, mom and the kids can go ride, and we'll find something for dad to do if dad doesn't want to go ride horses. You know, we want to make this vacation fit for everybody, and we will do whatever we need to do to make it work that way.
Oh, that's cool.
And we just want
that
to have something
cool
we can offer.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if people are driving to find you, how would they get there? Are there major interstates that are close by? Or?
We're about an hour and a half north of I-90.
Okay.
So you'd want to take I-90 on up into Kalispell, and then when you come through Kalispell, stop and talk to Andy and see what all he's got for sale. And then from Kalispell, you take Highway 93 up towards the Canadian border, and we're actually 50 miles from Kalispell. We also have Glacier National Airport is right here in Kalispell also. So, and they have direct flights from all the major cities too.
Okay.
So we're thoroughly accessible. Plus we also have the train comes through here all the time too.
Oh, wow.
So people can ride Amtrak out here, and we'll stop and go down and pick you up at Whitefish and bring you up. So that makes another affordable way for people to get out here, just to see us. So
neat.
Mm-hmm.
That's really neat. And I also want to let our Legacy Club members know that you are one of our select campgrounds as well. So people need to check our select campgrounds out.
Mm-hmm.
So when is your first big weekend? When is it coming up?
Our first big weekend will be the cattle drive. That starts May 10th.
That's May 10th?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay.
It's not that far away yet, so we're...
No, that's just over 90 days. I mean, it's almost here. But it's not even 90 days.
Yeah,
it's just over 60 days. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Gosh, the season is rolling along, and what a beautiful part of the country to go and visit. Great views, great activities. You know, when we were talking about the little restaurants down in Eureka, I know Tina May's ears perked up. And, man, she loves to eat some good food. So,
perked up. I have to come visit.
Yeah. Yeah,
oh, we're working hard on getting a really high quality specialty chef to come in here to the ranch for us for the summertime. So we will have some really, really good food provided for all of our guests too. I told Tina May that she needs to come up and check us out, and we'll pamper her and take care of her after Andy gets done dragging her through the bog.
Oh, I am so ready for that.
Okay. She might could use that before and after. You can never tell. But anyway, that's pretty neat. Well, you have a beautiful website. And why don't you give us your website address?
Okay. Our website is ranchatlw.com. So that would be short for Ranch at Laughing Water. Again, ranchatlw.com.
Okay.
And we have all our contact information and current rates and more information on all our specialty weeks are listed on that. And we're trying to add more information about the local area as we get it put out there. And we're just looking forward to having a really fun summer with lots of people.
Well, it's a great website. You also have a Facebook page. And we'd encourage people to go and visit the Facebook page as well as the website. But I tell you, it's another spot to put on your bucket list. And whether you
mm-hmm.
even go into the Bob Marshall, I mean, just to come to ranch at Laughing Waters is something that you need to be doing. And enjoying some of the hospitality that I know that Marsh is going to share with you there. So, and this will be your first full year. So that's pretty exciting.
Yes, yes. It's a big challenge undertaking, but I've got a really good dedicated staff that, you know, we're going to make it the best, and hospitality is the major word that we want to share with everybody, our Montana hospitality.
All right.
Absolutely.
Well, you know,
and you got some fun weeks ahead for folks. You got some really good planning out there, and I wish you all the luck on your new adventure. It sounds like a beautiful place to come visit.
Well, I'm kind of prejudiced, I think, for you.
It's on my bucket list. I may not get invited into the Bob, but I could sure run up to the ranch at Laughing Waters. And I could handle some of that pampering, I think, myself. So that's a great place to go and visit. So anyway, Marcia, thank you so much for sharing information on your facility there and taking the time to join us today.
Well, thank you very much for inviting me to join you and letting everybody know all about what we have to offer. So thank you very much, Gary and Tina.
Well, we'll have to have you back.
Absolutely, thank you.
We'll have to have you back and find out more about how your first year has been, too. I think that should be a fun show.
That'd be great.
Definitely.
I'd love to have
you back. All right. Well, listen, thanks again. And we're going to listen to another Montana song, Marcia. This is called Wyoming Woman and Montana Man by Mary Kay. And we'll be back to talk more with Tina May when we come back. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net.
Well, the hearts are turning, made this man as wise as he was old. And words don't come easy, but his eyes are the windows to his soul. His life is like a wheel rolling over and over again, till that woman drove in and she railed him like a wild western wind. Wyoming woman, Montana man, she is the answer to the question he never knew. Billings is where she ran out of gas. They say hope remains when all the stubborn pride in you is gone. Yeah, she was down like a stone that's been thrown, but she was dead down. Braid like a rope down her back. He thought, man, I'd be a fool not to stop and help a gal that looks like that. He said, can I help you? She said, well, I've been helped by men like you enough. But I guess it's all right if you can carry me to town in that truck. She wore a flat brim hat and her boots were the buckaroo style. And she knew from his truck this cowboy had been along for a while. Aw, he didn't talk much, but his dark eyes just blew her away. And as they rolled into Billings, she knew that this was where the cowboy would stay. Montana man,
Montana man, I'll get that straightened out. A little head cold today, so yeah, my eyes are not working well either. So that's a great song from Mary Kay. Hey, this has been a fun show. I loved having Marcia on and talking with her about the ranch at Laughing Water. That is a spot that's on my bucket list. I'd love to come up there and ride some, visit Eureka. Visit the Glacier National Park just a little bit and see all of the sites that are up there and enjoy some of that hospitality. And Andy was such a lot of fun to have on the show today. So,
And he's so full of information. We practically need a whole show just for Andy. He's got a lot of good info to talk about.
Yeah. Did a great job, so we enjoyed having him on, and so we look forward to having both of those folks to come back and join us again as guests in the future. And we didn't give Robert Eversole a hard enough time, but we'll have to do that next month, so we'll plan on
that. He may pay back. You know, he is on once a month, and, you know, he's got a voice too, so Andy, you better look out.
Yeah. Well, listen, we didn't talk about the Legacy Club, so let's talk about the Legacy Club and what we're giving away in for the month of February.
Absolutely. Our Legacy Club membership is free. It's our way of saying thank you to our listeners. The benefits are great, like discounts and promos from our Legacy Club sponsors and select campgrounds, dude and guest ranches, and even many Western vacations. You are also automatically entered into our drawings for free prizes, like our end-of-the-year drawing of a two-horse Hydro Horse system from our premier sponsor, Hydro Horse, and our monthly prize drawing, like this month's portable fire ring from our select sponsor, The Shop. You can sign up to be a Legacy Club member at EquestrianLegacy.net.
All right, and we gave away one of those fire rings a few months ago, and I had somebody that posted on Facebook today that they were the winner, and they just loved their fire ring. So be sure and visit the website, and we'll announce the winner on next Tuesday's show for the month end of February. And we want to mention again that the program is brought to you by Trailhead Supply, your source for the best camping gear, horse packing equipment, and horse riding gear. You can learn more about Trailhead Supply online at trailheadsupply.com and TrailGuard, 24-hour roadside travel assistance. TrailGuard was founded with one mission in mind, and that's guarding you down life's trails. Learn more about TrailGuard at trailguard.org. And then we have a big event coming up in June, and that's Western Legacy Radio's National Trail Ride and Benefit for the Fiona Rose Murphy Foundation. So that's 120 miles of beautiful trails at the Circle E Guest Ranch between Nashville and Chattanooga. We have a couple of nights of concerts with the legendary Michael Martin Murphy, Templeton Thompson, Stephanie Lane and the Sawdust Brothers. Craig Cameron's Extreme Cowboy Association National Championship will be held in conjunction with our event. The Cowboy Up Ball, Cowboy Church, Vendor Row, and a whole lot more. And you can visit our website at EquestrianLegacy.net to find out more about that event taking place June the 4th through the 6th. And Tina May, you could enter that Extreme Cowboy competition.
Well, I guess we all could, couldn't we?
I don't know. I may be a little bit too old for it. They do have some kind of a senior division or something on there. But you think Mocha could handle all that extreme trail stuff?
Oh, well, you're darn tootin'. You know I'm not going to say Mocha can't do that stuff.
Anyway, that's going to be a lot of fun.
That's pretty extreme, though. Yes, it is a lot of fun. You got to hand it to all those people that go in there and do the competition, and it's going to be fun to see. It's going to be fun to watch.
It really will. So it's going to be a lot of great activities, a lot of great music, and again, that's to benefit kids that have brittle bone disease. The medical term is osteogenesis imperfecta, but anyway, we'll be raising money to help those kids and support the Fiona Rose Murphy Foundation, so visit the website for that. And who we have coming next week on Saddle Up America?
Well, next week we have Jim McGarvey with Backcountry Horsemen of America, and then we travel to Killeen, Texas at Perry Haynes Equestrian Center and talk with owner Ona Truby.
Okay, so that will be a great show. This Sunday on Blessed Trails with Belinda Gale, and that's at 9 o'clock on Sunday morning Central Time. Her special guest is Susie Knight, and that is going to be a fun, fun show with a great message as well, and that's Blessed Trails on Sunday morning with Belinda Gale. And then this Thursday around the Campfire Cafe, with my co-host, Bobby Jean Bell, we're going to be joined by the very talented Carolyn Martin. And Carolyn was with the Time Jumpers for about 11 years and now is traveling with the Carolyn Martin Band. And so it's going to be a great show to have Carolyn on and our horse guest for Thursday, and that's at noon. And then folks can tune in on Saturday mornings beginning at 8 o'clock for Saddle Up Saturday. So we'll have some great programming there as well. So anything you want to close with? This has been a good show.
It has been a good show. I just want to tell folks to not wait for the first big trail ride. Saddle up now and get yourself and your horse in shape for those long rides.
All right, so good advice. And we want to remind folks, as always, if you climb in the saddle,
get ready for the ride.
Get ready for the ride on Equestrian Legacy Radio. And we'll close the show out with Terry Brown's Old Coyote. And we want to thank you for listening.
Old Coyote, your head back and sing your mournful song. Cry out to the wind how much you hate to be alone. And while you are howling your pain to the moon, I will too. Old Coyote, you roam these hills together, the canyons near and far. You'd lay upon the mountaintop and watch the shooting stars. You'd lift your voices heavenward and thanks to God above, as you both pledged your sweet coyote love. Then came the cold hard winter, there was no food to be found. You left your little family and you hunted all around. For days they waited for you while you tried to change their fate, but you returned a little bit too late. Old Coyote Ray, your head back and sing your mournful song. Cry out to the wind how much you hate to be alone. And while you are howling your pain to the moon, I will too. Old Coyote, 'cause once I had a woman who rode here by my side, but trapped inside a freezing hell, she withered up and died. So go ahead and cry, my friend, I understand your pain. Fate has made our hearts one and the same. Old Coyote, rear your head back and sing your mournful song. Cry out to the wind out, but you hate to be alone. And while you are howling your pain to the moon, I will too. Old coyote, a cold hard winter's coming, your coat has turned to gray, and my old bones, they get a little stiffer every day. The wedding's finally over now, so don't be sad, old friend. It won't be long till we'll see them again. Old coyote, rear your head back and sing a happy song. The winds of change are blowing, and we're finally going home. We'll have our loves beside us, and soon we'll both live again, my old friend.